You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager of Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show for late Friday on November 2nd is a breaking news-ish edition. It's a couple hours after, so I'm sure you've heard by now. But Kevin Love is going to be out at least 6 weeks from now after having surgery on Friday in New York City on his left toe. The Cavs are saying his foot, but we know from Joe Varden of The Athletic that it is his left toe. The thing he said was bothering him, the injury that has really, I think, really affected him this season, and that it's something that's going to keep him on the sidelines now for at least 6 weeks. According to the Cavs, he will be reevaluated in 6 weeks, which is around December 14th. So a little before Christmas, which would be a good Christmas present for the Cavs to get him back. And without Kevin Love, there's not really a big reason for them to try to win games right now. But to look at this Love injury, it's the same surgeon that did Kevin Durant's surgery 4 years ago on Kevin Durant's foot. That we don't know if he's going to be back for sure in 6 weeks. This could be something where it's 6 weeks and then he misses another week, or he misses 6 weeks and comes back immediately, or what have you. The Cavs could, I think, and perhaps smartly, decide to be very cautious with Kevin Love. They should not rush him back. They should not try and force this, because they're not in a race for the playoffs. They're not in a race for any sort of contention right now. Maybe if they wanted to flip him at the trade deadline, you wanted to get him back and get a team to take a gamble on him, but there should be no rush in developing him, and I think, and rush in getting him back, excuse me. So for me, I think the big takeaway here, obviously missing Kevin Love is not good for anybody, even if they weren't going to be good necessarily with him. It's bad for Colin Sexton, it's bad for the offense, it's bad for Jetty Osmond. It's bad for everyone that the best player on the team is not there. It's bad for the fans, frankly, because it's just one less reason for you to go to a game, to tune into a game. So that's, it's just less fun now with him not there. It's your most dynamic offensive player to a large degree. And now I think this does shift the overall season. It has to shift it towards developing the young talent on this team and really not trying to win. The Cavs are going to try to be competitive. I don't think they really are going to come out and say that they're tanking. That's kind of not, the word rebuild is a nerdy, is a bad word in that building. They're a little bit sensitive as an organization towards people saying they're not competent, and I get that. But without Kevin Love, your best player, you're resigned to running Jetty Osmond pick and rolls, to relying on Jordan Clarkson isolations, to running your offense through Tristan Thompson for a full quarter. If as your best option right now, as they figure things out in this post Ty Lue world, that's not a great look. So it has to be about getting Colin Sexton in the right minutes. It has to be about getting Jetty Osmond more advanced, getting Ante Zizic some minutes, frankly. Love only played in 4 games this year. Not very minutes with Sexton, not very many minutes with Osmond, just because of the limited games. And in Sexton's case, just not sharing the floor. That's maybe the thing that I think is the biggest bummer, because I think those guys really would benefit from playing with Kevin Love. They could use time with a player of that caliber. Now, what happens in the next 6 weeks, I think, will largely shape how aggressive the Cavs will and should look at bringing back Kevin Love. Kevin Love is, again, the best player on the team, the biggest offensive hub on the team. 6 weeks is a long time, and things go really bad in the 6 weeks. The Cavs have the worst record in the East right now. They're worse than the Tire Fire Wizards. They're worse than teams like the Hawks, who they lost to, the Magic, the Bulls. The Cavs are, in my opinion, clearly the worst team in the East so far this season. Maybe the worst team in the NBA. I think Phoenix might be worse, but they have better young talent. At least they have Booker, they have Ayton, etc. The Cavs are just kind of bleak and hopeless. They looked completely kind of overwhelmed against the Nuggets, and I don't expect that to change in the 6 weeks. And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's just the reality of, I think, the situation. I think that is one of the big things that we know about this team already. So could George Hill be gone? Could this JR thing be resolved? Could other veterans be gone? Could Korver be gone, for instance, by the time Kevin Love comes back? It's possible. And what does it look like when Kevin Love comes back? A lot is going to change. So as much as we're not going to hear a ton from Kevin Love, and I think the hope would be that he is around the team and at least there as a leader, because I think Tristan right now is taking on a lot of that, and I think Kevin could really use some of that help. The Cavs are in a tough spot with this, and they just basically have to let him get healthy without rushing him back. And again, a lot could change in that 6 weeks. This could be a roster that is a lot younger, has flipped out some veterans, and they move on. So we'll see what he looks like when he comes back. That, to me, almost more than what the day-to-day updates on him are going to be, is the most interesting part of this. Obviously, you want him to get healthy. It's not great that a guy who's had a lot of injury issues has another one now at age 30 and to the lower part of his body. That doesn't make you feel great about the contract he signed. I mean, he deserves a chance to prove he can get healthy, but it's not a great thing to happen. So just a few months after that, we don't really even, it happened in the first preseason game, don't really even know exactly how it happened. But let's see how this team changed in the 6 weeks. Let's see what advancements makes. Because maybe, look, maybe they lose a lot in the next 6 weeks, but Sexton and Osman and other guys make a lot of reps, and they can at least build on the end of the season, go into the lottery, get a good player, and then be a better next year. I think that's probably what they're hoping for, but it could be the opposite. And the next 6 weeks while Love is out and how these guys progress without him will really tell us a lot. We're going to take a quick break, though, and update you on a couple other Cavs stories, so stay tuned. And we're back. Okay, so the other thing, Cavs thing is going on right now, as you know, they got the All-Star game. That's really cool. 2022, the 75th anniversary. And then J.R. Smith says he wants to be traded. Was not fined by the NBA, but he wants out. He had people chanting, play J.R. the other night at the Q. That was kind of cool and awkward at the same time. The Larry Drew situation, I think the big thing here is that that is not done yet. Dan Gilbert says he's confident that Larry Drew and the Cavs will come to terms. He says he's not involved, which is obviously a big shift for him as an owner. Dan also had this quote that I thought was interesting. Two quotes. The first one is about their competitiveness. He said, quote, I do think we're competitive. I think you'll see us become competitive, yeah. We will see what happens tonight in the next few games here. The Cavs lost, by the way, after he said this. We're scoring enough points to win every game, but on the other side of the floor, we could use some improving. If we do, we'll see what happens. Plus, it's early in the season to make any kind of calls as to what the future is going to be. So that's interesting. And then this is what he had to say about Ty Lue. He said, quote, very difficult in terms of firing Ty. I like Ty as a person, as a coach, and as a coach. I think Kobe's feeling, as well as the rest of our office, was that there were certain coaches for certain eras, I guess. Ty is a championship coach, and this is a different kind of situation, and he felt that Larry Drew was the best guy for that job. Again, he says he's not involved. That's, I believe it when we know that. That's just not really been Dan's historical MO. So that's where with Larry Drew. Hasn't signed an official deal, so he's still technically only the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers and not the interim head coach, which is very awkward, even though Kevin Love and others have said that they want him to take the job, and the players seem to like him. And lastly, the Cavs are also being sued by ex-assistant Jim Boylan. Boylan, age 63, was with the Cavs from 2013 to 2018. He's suing the Cavs for age discrimination. And then according to the court filing, which you can search pretty easily on the Cuyahoga Court's website, you can read that if you're the sort as well. You can find a link to it there. He was fired via voicemail by Tyronn Lue, the now ex-Cavs head coach, of course. And this is what Ty said on the voicemail. This has been called by some legal experts who have commented on this as the smoking gun, quote-unquote, of the situation. Quote, Altman does not want to pick up your option. He said, it's way too much money. They're not going to pay that kind of money for three assistants on the bench. He wants to go younger in that position and, you know, find someone who's a grinder and younger in that position. So Boylan, again, 63, was replaced by Damon Jones, who is now fired, was fired along with Ty. James Posey at 41 and Mike Longobardi, 45, both are on the staff. And then Mike Garrity, 32, and David Perrott, who I think I'm pronouncing his name right, 29, were also named in this suit as being examples of younger assistants promoted ahead of an older guy. Dan Gilbert and Kobe Altman, the team's GM, are both listed as defendants in the suit. This isn't emblematic of something that's happening right now, or it isn't speaking to something directly that is happening now, but it is, I think, a indication of how crazy things are with the Cavs right now. To recap just what is happening with the Cavs, basically since they fired Ty, they fired the coach who led them to the one title that they've ever had. They burned bridges with that coach. An ex-coach who worked for Ty, who Ty fired via voicemail, is now suing the team. Kevin Love is out 6 weeks. Their best player is out 6 weeks. They were beat bottom by the Nuggets last night. The Larry Drew situation, again, is not resolved. JR wants out and is publicly requesting a trade, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's where we're at right now with the Cavs. That's where we're at. We stand on November 2nd. We're going to be back tomorrow on Saturday, November 3rd, to recap Cavs Hornets from Charlotte. So stay tuned for that here on Locked On Cavs and at Fear the Sword. Check out all of our content over there. Trevor Magnotti is writing about the draft now. You have me writing about five things that were good and five that were bad from every game, starting with Cavs Nuggets. We'll be, again, back tomorrow recapping Cavs Hornets from Charlotte. I'll be watching from home, obviously, but we'll be recapping here on Locked On Cavs, so stay tuned to that as soon as it's up after the game. Check your feeds, listen, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, please listen. Thanks for listening, and again, breaking news edition covering the Kevin Love injury and just a bunch of crazy chaos going around the Cavs. Talk to you tomorrow.